goodness. Hello, 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 hello. I am so excited. I have a guest today who's someone that I learned from myself. Like, I actually, pay him money to teach me. And so I think it's perfect that he's coming here to share some of his expertise on becoming a successful entrepreneur. And maybe we'll talk about sharks a little bit. So, welcome, Tom. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Well, you got to pronounce your name for me because I don't want to mess it up.
Oh, sure. It's Tom Gaddis is the last name.
Okay, I thought it was Gaddis, but then I always go deer in the headlights when I'm about to say someone's name because it's something you can't take back.
Yeah, it's so funny. My business partner, Nick, he calls me the butcher of names because he always makes me try to say them when we're on trainings. I'm like, I'm not falling
Yeah.
for that, Nick. You do this one.
I know, and some of them like are Vladimir, and then they'll be like a really long name with lots and lots of consonants, and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Just say that. Just say that for me first.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm a poor country boy from Oklahoma, like it's hard for me to do those big names.
That sounds like a John Denver song. No.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, so you left Hawaii, right? You lived in Hawaii, and now are you in Vegas? Are you in Hawaii? I'm confused a little.
Yeah, I'm in Las Vegas. So I am originally from Oklahoma. That's where I was born and raised. And I lived out in the country, but when I turned 18, that was the last place I wanted to be was Oklahoma. So I hit the road and went to several different places. I went to Kansas, ended up in Florida, ended up in Michigan, then back to Oklahoma, met my wife, got married. We had a couple of kids, and then in 2010, my wife had lived in on Maui before. She actually graduated high school from there. So
Oh, nice.
she was like, "Oh, we should go visit." I was like, "Go visit. Let's just move there." I was like, "We have a year before our daughter turns, has to go to school. So if we don't like it, we'll just come back." So we moved there in 2010, and then we stayed there for 11 years. And
Oh, my goodness.
yeah, I mean, we loved it there. It was really, it wasn't that we were just itching to get out of Hawaii, but there were just a lot of things that were coming to, that were overlapping and happening in our lives that just made coming back to the mainland a little better decision. And we can talk about that a little later. But, one interesting thing about being in Hawaii, it, now, do you go by Erica or do you go by EG?
Erica.
Erica for the podcast. Okay. So, one of the interesting things, Erica, was when, so I know you told me that your audience is a little more on the spiritual entrepreneurial side.
They can be, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and so that's really interesting to me because when I was younger, like in my teenage years, I was really into becoming a professional magician, which I eventually did. But because of that, being involved in that, like I met several people that exposed me to some things that you wouldn't normally be exposed to, like Think and Grow Rich. How to win friends and influence people, and coming from like a poor family, this idea that money was just all around every day and we could just put ourselves in the middle of the stream and bring it to us was very appealing to me, right? Plus, when you want to be in show business, really what you want to do is like make a lot of money and not do a lot of work. Like, let's be realistic, right? Like, I would think, my friends would go to their jobs 8 hours a day, Monday through Friday. I would go do one magic show and make triple what they would make that entire week,
It's like you
So,
just never look back.
yeah, I mean, I just thought, well, why be a working chump? Like, that just seemed crazy to me. And, so eventually I did become a professional magician. But one of the reason I brought this story up was because when I was living in Oklahoma City, at the time was when the Secret was coming out and starting to be pretty big.
Oh, right.
And so I had actually met Joe Vitale a few years before that. A lot of I don't know if you know this, but Joe is an amateur magician.
I didn't, but you know what? He gave me a really beautiful original quote for the back of my second book.
Oh, wow, what a small world, right?
A testimonial. Yeah, he gave me a testimonial for my book. It's called Happiness Quotations. And he wrote, I just sent him a note out of the blue. I don't know what made me do it. And he loved the book. And he was
Yeah.
so kind, you know. And I'm sure he gets offers constantly, right? But that's amazing. I had no idea he was a magician. So at one point in
Yeah,
his
he was an
life.
amateur magician, and he knew a friend of mine who I studied magic from, and Joe at the time was starting to like he had written like cyber writing, and he'd put out some information products, and he was just starting to kind of veer his marketing to the spiritual side. And so he was doing this thing in Austin, Texas. It was a live event called Spiritual Marketing. And I don't know if it was the first one or it was one of the really early ones though. And
Nice.
he had a competition. He said, write a sales letter for my event and we'll pick the best sales letter and we'll give you a free ticket to the event. And so I sent one in and I won a free ticket. And so
Nice.
I flew down to Austin and I got to hang out with Joe and I met several other
Oh my
people.
goodness. Game
And
changing.
yeah. And so anyway, so fast forward back to I'm in Oklahoma City. I'm a restaurant manager. I really want to not be a restaurant manager. The secret's kind of the big thing. So I did this vision board and I had this vision board in my bedroom slash office. And one of the things that they did when the secret came out, I don't know if you ever saw these, but they had these like fake checks that you could print offline and like write
Okay.
yourself checks to put on your
Okay.
vision
Yeah,
board. And so,
Jim Carrey was one of the famous ones.
who's that?
The actor, Jim Carrey.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Jim Carrey. He would carry the check around in his pocket, right?
Yeah,
With his
for like
wallet.
$10
Yeah.
million
So,
dollars.
yeah,
Yeah.
so I had this vision board and we wanted to go to Hawaii for a while. So I had this picture of Hawaii tacked to it. I had at the time I wanted this Chrysler 300 car. I had a picture of that tacked to it, you know. And I had this check that I had filled out for $100,000, and I'd written to myself for $100,000. And I'm a restaurant manager making like 30 something thousand dollars a year, you know, in Oklahoma. And so I had this vision board. So one time these guys
More
came
impressive.
over. So one time these
Yeah.
guys came over to fix the internet. And one of the technicians, he walks in and he sees the vision board, you know, and he sees the
Okay.
check and he turns to my wife and he says, you might want to tell your husband to cash that check. You know, and it was like just such a, I mean, it was a funny comment, but it was just like a, you know, well, what the
Yeah.
heck? And anyway,
Yeah.
so that, you know, that vision board, I never really thought about it that much for a long, long time, but a few years ago, so there were a couple of things from that vision board. One is I ended up living in Hawaii, you know,
Right?
and that was one
Crazy.
of the things on there to visit. Now, I never had a Chrysler 300, but I've always had crappy cars my whole life, and eventually I did get a BMW, which was a really nice car. And then, you know, a few years ago, I actually got to write my check myself a check for $100,000, and the check was good. Like it was actually good. Like it wasn't like, oh, you're just writing yourself
Yeah,
this
like you
check.
can deposit it and have
Yeah, like
cash. Yeah.
I was writing it to cash it because the money was there. And you know,
Yeah,
it's so
nice.
interesting to me to think back to that time because, you know, for a long time I thought, well, this vision board thing. Like, I mean, I haven't done a vision board since then because
Yeah.
I just kind of thought, well, this is sort of hokey, right? But,
You know,
you know.
Tom, your modesty is really amazing. And I want to kind of let people know that you help people become millionaires. Like, you've touched so many lives with your gifts, and you not only have grown your own millions, but you do this for others so consistently. And maybe just share a little bit about, like, what lit you up to do that? Like, what caused you to kind of want to help others? It feels like with so much like intensity.
Yeah, you know, so one, I think like for me coming from the background that I did where I never had money, you know, and as a kid,
Yeah.
I always wanted to be one of the kids that had money, you know, but I never did, never had money. And
Wow.
so like there
Yeah.
was this like feeling of like, oh, I just You know, I want that. And then, you know, when I talk about being exposed to the ideas of like think and grow rich and how to win friends and influence people, like I really just bought into that at a young age that, you know, man, if you can create, like you could create something from nothing that could generate income, you know, like that being good at sales was a good thing to know. Like there was a, I guess I really just kind of bought into that there was an easier way to make money than what most people were doing, right? That what was considered, quote, safe and normal, it just never really appealed to me. And one of the things I used to hear people say all the time in that space is like, you know, when you figure something out, you go back and you help somebody else, you show them what you want, you know, how to do it as well, you know? And
Like what you like, I mean, that's why I think I help people podcast because podcasting has been so good to me. Like, it's brought me so many good people and it's brought me so much money. And it didn't happen any of the ways I thought it would at all. Like, nothing happened the way I thought it would.
Well, you
But,
know, it was the same for me. The same thing with where we ended up with you know, with offline sharks and remote millionaires and those things. Because so I think there's, so here's my take on this, the whole, like, you know, the attraction and the visualization and the you know, the thinking that there's money everywhere and you can just get in the flow of it and all that stuff. I mean, I did all that stuff for years and years and years and never had any results. It wasn't until I started mixing that thought process with actual action in a real concrete way. And an example I can give you of that is when I initially was trying to generate income online, I thought, well, I'll just be an affiliate marketer, you know, and because that seems easy. The problem was like I wasn't doing anything myself. Like I was trying to.
That's my problem with affiliate things. I totally get it. It's
Yeah, I
like
will. Yeah.
you're not selling something that you built or that you are part of, or it's like it's not wrong. And I really like it when people are good at it. I think it's awesome. But I want to think when you build something like you guys built a whole community, and that was really fascinating.
Yeah, and part of that comes from, and like a good example of that is, you know, I know that people say this all the time. They say, oh, well, like, look, you can create a course, just go out and study and put the course together. And like, you don't have to have done the thing, you can just learn about it. And I know that that's what a lot of, you know, authors do that. There's a lot of people out there that do that. You know, for me, I could never make that work. There's just something missing from trying to put those things together. And so I really struggled with trying to make money online. But what it did do for me, like learning the online business and the internet marketing and those things, what it did do for me was give me and help me develop a set of skills, which were how to build websites, how
How to build
to
websites,
do SEO.
domain authority, SEO. I think I feel like I honestly believe that SEO, it's going to go through some iterations with all the AIs. And then I believe it will emerge on the other side of it where original content is going to be valued even greater.
I think so as well. You know, so like learning that stuff, the websites, the SEO, also copywriting, right? Which I know that a lot of people are using AI for that stuff, but I'm with you. I think that like AI can only do so much. There's a something, there's a little something extra that someone brings to it, you know. You mentioned kind of the titles we make for things in our community. Like I just feel like those are things that there's little angles and hooks and ideas behind stuff that I just don't think an AI can come up with yet, right? Maybe okay, but
I'll give you a little fun thing. If you pull something off of YouTube or you pull off, if you transcribe one of your things, one of your recordings, one of your shows, if you use AI to fix the grammar and spelling, you've got an original article.
oh, that's great. Yeah, that's great.
Well, no, it's just that I believe like quality, if you're help, here's what you guys do. You tap into like what keeps people up nights and then what they can do. You bring in Well, you actually do bring in affiliate, you bring in partners that can help people do what they need to get done.
Yeah, and that, I mean, and I think it's that understanding, you know, and that understanding really comes from personal experience, right? Like when I developed those skills, and I heard somebody say, like, well, you could take these skills that you have and you could offer to help a local business with their website and their SEO, and they will just pay you
Right.
directly.
They
And
will.
when I went to this business and was like, hey, you know, I can do a website for $300, they were like, where do we sign? You know, and so I was
Yeah.
like, oh, well, this was much like I generated that $800 way easier than it took to do any affiliate stuff. And so then I realized, like, oh, having those skills was valuable. And I just
Yeah.
started working towards, you know, getting better at them and then offering them as a service, which helped. But, you know, once I started doing that, and then once I started having success with getting clients and doing those things, then I was able to turn around and actually do all the other stuff that I had struggled with for years, which was put courses together, help people online, because now I was actually doing something and I could
Okay,
teach on the thing I was doing.
I have a question for you. It may sound really like only Erica wants to know, but I just ask whatever I ask because I figure other people are probably curious too. What are some of your secrets about those sort of sexy free downloadable gifts? I know you guys teach to do that, but like, how does someone come up with good stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are several things involved in that. One is, you know, keeping an eye on your current customers, like what are the problems and things that they're sorry, I don't know what's going on there.
Right. Get to know your
Keep
people.
keeping an eye, well, what are your customers' pain problems? What are the things they're going through? And not just guessing, like really getting in and talking to the people that you want to do business with and finding out what is going on with them. The other part of that too is like keeping up with trends and different things like that. So, you know, like for instance, we had one thing where we had a foot in the door that was, you know, identifying websites that don't have SSL certificates. And at the time, that was a great foot in the door because Google was doing this crackdown of sites with no
Right.
SSL and showing these
Right.
warnings, and local businesses
Right.
didn't want that. And so, you
Right.
know, keeping your ear to the ground about trends, things like that, and then understanding, you know, what are the struggles and the things that your clients are struggling with are the big ones. You know, I have a little formula that I use to put things out. It's called the, I call it the milk it formula, but it's really milk, and it stands for market, idea, launch, and ka-ching. And so if you look at anything I do or that we do at Offline Sharks, it follows this little blueprint, right? And so it I even had a download. It was the Milk It Method, how to turn any product idea into a huge cash cow, right? And it's really this little four piece framework is really what we've kind of built Offline Sharks with. And you know, under
I think I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of the things I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs miss is the thing you brought up earlier, which is I had nothing to sell. Well, maybe that was before we started the recording, but it's like if you don't have something to sell, then all of the stuff you do, all of your PR, all of the getting social media fans, building groups and everything, without things to sell, you're gonna ultimately just start feeling kind of like it's like you're spinning your wheels in the mud, no?
Yes, yeah, you will. And but like, how do you get those ideas of what to sell, right? Like, you know, one, it's by looking at the market, getting an idea, testing it out, doing, you know, doing some type of
Yeah, doing
validation.
a
Like,
little test.
yeah, how can
Absolutely.
we validate it? You know, like one of the things
Yeah.
you may not know this, but like with Offline Sharks, the way that I validated that, well, so the first course I put out was really a method on how I was using direct mail to land like
Okay.
14 to 16 clients at a time. And
Okay.
the way that I tested that out was one weekend, I was sick and I started a Facebook group and I somehow managed to just get 50 people in this Facebook group. Like just from letting people know that, hey, I started this group. It was called Entrepreneur
Yeah.
Empire. It's not around anymore. And so I got these, somehow I got these 50 people. I was letting people know on forums. I got these 50 people in this group in about a week or two. And then I said, hey guys, I'm going to do a training in next week on how I'm using direct mail to get 14 clients. It's going to be $150. Here's a link, sign up. And I got three people to sign up. And so okay. I went and I did the training live. Like I didn't create a course. I didn't make a members area. I just got on a webinar and I did the whole training right. from a mind map and I gave them a bunch of stuff. And that eventually is what became my first product, like breaking that up into individual parts and actually making a members area. But that was my first test run of it. Was like, oh, can I get people to pay for this information, you know? And then I knew like, oh, I think this is probably a good idea and I can go with it. So eventually I turned that into a course that, you know, I sold for, I think when I brought it out, I sold it for $13, you know, and I sold 2,000 copies of it, but it was, validated the idea earlier.
I love it. I love it. Well, we've had a really wonderful conversation. What would you like to, maybe is there a business you'd like to describe that you'd like to, should we talk a little bit about offline charts? Because I mean, it seems like people can join the Facebook group.
Yeah, I mean, it's the our Facebook group is called Remote Marketing Agency Owners by Offline Charts. If you're an agency owner or doing any agency stuff, I definitely go check that out. You know, one thing EJ I was thinking about before we got on this call is, or Erica, I'm sorry.
I'll be etched as EG Buzz forever. I get it. No, that's good. I have that whole SEO side of me.
Yep. So one of the things that we do that we teach our people inside like Remote Millionaires and Offline Charts is a client acquisition model that we have using cold email. It's called the Reach Machine. We have this thing that goes with it where we put up these community resource websites. And one of the things I was thinking about is like, boy, if somebody out there were in this kind of spiritual, like the spiritual business space would be an amazing topic and niche to build a community resource website around. Like imagine you had a community resource site that listed all of these spiritual type businesses, or if you were like a spiritual business consultant. Yeah. I mean, I think this would be great. Right. And so, anyway, that was an idea I thought of before I got on here. I wanted to share.
People could have listings, or even they could even do it geographically. Like if people wanted to support businesses that were like minded in Colorado Springs or something, for instance, you could have directories in, or, you know, New Mexico.
Yeah. You could do it by geography, or you could do it by niche, because let's say that your specialization was helping spiritually based businesses. So maybe you became the person that really helped Reiki providers. Like maybe like, and I'm just pulling this out of the air, but maybe because I used to have a client that was a Reiki. They had a Reiki.
I've never understood Reiki, but I like it. I like the vibe of it.
Well, that's the thing. Like you could put together a site of, you know, the best Reiki places all, you know, in an area or all across the country. And then you would be adding them, and then you're offering them marketing services for their Reiki thing. Like that could be your niche, right? Like somebody was just telling me the other day about this guy who like he makes millions of dollars, and you know what his niche is?
What's that?
Turkey farmers.
Wow.
He travels all over to turkey farmer conventions. He's the turkey farmer marketing guy. And he makes millions of dollars teaching turkey farmers how to do their business better. And he's not a turkey farmer. Like he's just a marketing guy, you know?
So one thing I noticed when I looked at my own clients, like people who hire me to help them, was the spiritual entrepreneurs that hire me. So these wouldn't be like the small businesses, it'd be like the spiritual entrepreneurs. There's a word that I just love, and it's called claircognizance. Claire, C-L-A-I-R.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Claircognizance. And basically, these are people who perceive, know, they have ESP, they can predict the future, they can hear voices, they can talk to animals. They're like, it's claircognizance. It's It's a rare, it's like the top 1% of the top 2% of psychics.
Well, Claire,
Because isn't that a fascinating word? I just love
yeah,
it because
claircognizance, that's great.
claircognizance, because some people are like clairvoyant, and some people are this, some people are that, and I respect all of the clairs. Like, I think it's really cool. Like, I can't do certain of the clairs, but there are people who are like all knowing. That might be an,
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good niche because no one's really heard of the word.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we have a lot of tarot card readers and psychics here in Vegas. I mean, if you pick the right area,
Oh
that's
my gosh, you're absolutely right. Tarot is really big there.
there's a
And
lot.
people who bet like things that would be lucky, they're interested in luck.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, and I have always had a profound interest in this kind of stuff because of my magic background, and I used to do I used to do like palm readings at parties and things like that, and I even had a show where it's not real. I'm not clairvoyant or psychic, but I can use certain traits of human behavior to make it appear that I am. And so I had a show that I used to do that was all about that, but it was psychology and really using the five senses to create the illusion of a sixth sense,
It's wonderful. Well,
Yep.
listen, it's been great having you here. How can we reach you and find out more?
Awesome. Well, obviously the Facebook group, our website's offlinesharks.com, remotemillionaires.com. If you're interested in seeing what I was talking about with the client acquisition and the community resource sites and things like that, we have a training that talks about how we're using cold email in conjunction with that to bring clients in and generate income. And your listeners can view that training if they go to offlinesharks.com/cold email. So
Perfect.
offlinesharks.com/cold email.
I love it. I'll put that link in the comments. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Erica. It was a lot of fun.